Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Paul wrote these words in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That was true to the first century believers in Rome who first read the letter, and it is true of us today in our hearing. You are more than conquerors. But what does that mean? Now, our ears may be tuned to the culture to hear those words differently than what our first century brothers or sisters in Christ might have heard them. We might hear the word conqueror and think, well, isn't that just a little bit militant? Isn't that perpetuating a testosterone-fueled toxic masculinity whereby some alpha male has to be on top and put down others? Doesn't that sound like the opposite of being kind? Does it sound hateful to claim that we are more than conquerors? I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could all just get along? After all, using the word conquerors implies that someone or something has to be or has been defeated in battle. And who do you do battle with if not someone or something that is your enemy? Our culture is filled with fingers pointing at others, identifying them as the enemy. Those who claim to be Republican and those who claim to be Democrats, they are enemies. Fascists and capitalists, enemies. Those who hold to progressive ideologies and those who hold to conservative ideologies, enemies. Brewers fans and Cubs fans, enemies of the worst kind. There is a prevailing thought and practice in our culture, though, that points the finger at whoever the other is and labels them as the enemy. And enemies are those people who you do battle with. And enemies are those whom we need to conquer. The church, that is you and I, are not called to get swept up in all and carried along by our culture. That means we're not to take our direction or action from it. Instead, the church is called to look to the authority of the Holy Scriptures. That's where we look. That is what shapes and defines us. And when we do, we will more often than not find that the Scriptures present a countercultural worldview. Now, Paul does indeed use those words, or the word conqueror. And he does mean to imply that there are, in fact, enemies, true enemies. But here's the deal. Those enemies are never the people that you can point a finger at. In another letter, St. Paul writes these words. He says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, over the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms." Now, did you catch that? We do not wrestle or fight against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces, spiritual realities. So the battle is not a physical battle, but rather a spiritual one. Well, so then, who are our enemies? Well, according to the Holy Scriptures, there are three: sin, death, and the power of the devil. The Scriptures reveal that sin is that which resides in each and every one of us. Every one of us are sinners. And out of our sinful hearts comes sinful actions. Sin is that thing that causes us to place our needs over the needs of others, and that sees the other person as the enemy. Sin leads us to believe that we are in charge and that we define the limits. And that sin leads us to act out of those naturally self-centered beliefs. Now, the Scripture defines sin as a rebellion against God. In our sin, then, we rebel against the God who made us, and we make him out to be the enemy. So sin is one of our enemies. The Scripture also reveals that sin, our sin, leads to death. Death is that wage that sin earns. Death is the punishment for rebellion against God. Death is the proverbial nail in the coffin of our rebellion against God. Unless something is done about our sin, well, then death seals us in that coffin apart from God forever. And then there's the devil. The scriptures reveal the devil and expose him as a liar. He is the leader of the rebellion against God. He is the one who seeks to confirm you in your rebellion against God and keep you always as his enemy. He is the one who whispers in your ear, "Did God really say?" Every time you try to justify your sinful actions to God or to someone else. "Did God really say that you can't serve him and also the things that your money can buy? Did God really say that you have to respect those in authority over you, even if they're acting like fools? Did God really say that you should watch what you say to others, even if they deserve to be put in their places? Did God really say that you can't gratify your sexual desires however you want? How prudish." The devil is the enemy who is spurring on every sinful, rebellious action and ideology that exists in this world right now. From near the beginning and until the last day of this dark age, the devil is at work leading the revolt against God and trying to drag all of creation into hell with him. He holds others under sway outside the church, and he attacks the church with vicious hatred. But here's the deal. People like you and I, people are either instruments of or under the influence of either God or of the devil. There is no middle ground. There is no neutrality. There is no Switzerland here. Those outside the church don't realize this reality. Those inside the church are enlightened by the Holy Spirit to see the battle that rages along. Consider St. Peter. He had made his confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But then when Jesus told Peter and the others that the work of the Christ was to go to Jerusalem to be rejected by men, to ultimately be put to death on a cross, Peter rebuked Jesus, saying, "Never, this shall never happen to you. The Christ, he isn't supposed to die, but rather rule over all," right? So here's Peter, a disciple of Jesus, now speaking out of his sinful nature, trying to define the role of the Christ on his own terms, influenced by the prevailing culture of the Jews, and then ultimately under the sway of the devil himself. And in love, Jesus rebukes him, calling out the lies of the devil. "Satan, get behind me. And Peter, you're setting your mind on the things of man, not of God." To others who were held under sway of the devil in Jesus' ministry, he commanded the spirits to leave, and they did. And then those who were possessed by demons were now Christ's possession. People filled with the Spirit and now made enemies of the devil. Thanks be to God. But note, dear brothers and sisters, that even from the cross, as Jesus was suffering and dying, he never looked out on the people below him and viewed them as his enemies. In fact, he cried out from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was seeing those who crucified him as those he still yet came to save, under the sway of the true enemies of sin, death, and the devil. You know, make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters in Christ. There is a time and a place for standing for the truth revealed in the Scriptures, for calling out falsehood, for seeing things as they are, for speaking the truth in love. And I say that that time and that place is here and now. For we are indeed called to live as light in a dark age. But here's the key. That you don't believe the lie that whomever you are talking with is your actual enemy. All right? They, like Peter, are ones for whom Christ Jesus died. They, like you, are objects of God's mercy, grace, and patience shown in love by Christ Jesus. Other people are not the enemy. Sin, death, and the devil are. These are the enemies that need to be defeated and conquered, but not by us, by Christ. Turn again to the Scriptures and hear St. Paul's words. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Our enemies were not then and are not now overcome by our strength, but by the overwhelming love of God in Christ Jesus. So great is his love that he walked among mankind, who by our sin made us enemies of God. So great is his love that he laid down his life for us all, surrendering himself to death in our place. So great is his love that he crushed the head of the devil in his act of sacrifice on the cross and by his victorious resurrection from the dead. We don't defeat our enemies. God in Christ Jesus does. Jesus is the one who looks at you in the midst of your own sin and rebellion, and he says to you, I am here to give you peace. I will take your rebellion and suffer the consequences as if I myself rebelled. I will die in your place so that you may live. And look, I have conquered sin, death, and the devil. You are in me and I in you, and I share my victory with you. You are more than conquerors because I have fought the battle and I have won. And now as you live as my own dear children in this dark age, see other people as I do. They are ones for whom I have come. They are ones for whom I have suffered and died. They are ones whom I love. Speak truth to them, yes, always in light of my love for them. For I have come to set them free as well, and I desire them to share in my victory as you yourselves do. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, the days are indeed dark. Our enemies do fight against us. And in the face of this spiritual battle, it is quite tempting to run and hide, to put our head in the sand, to even give in. The temptation is to find shelter or retreat. But I tell you the truth, now is not the time to retreat. The people in our community need the church to stay and proclaim with precision the law that exposes all of our sin, the law which shows our rebellion, reveals its consequences, and exposes the lies of the evil one. And with equal precision, to proclaim the good news of Jesus, who has come to put an end to sin, death, and the devil. Now is the time for the people of God to rally at the foot of the cross and to be shaped and molded by Christ's word and his sacraments, like a soldier who is trained and fitted for battle. Now is the time for the church to heed the words of St. Paul when he wrote in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that which was given you in your baptism, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given in the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Look, brothers and sisters in Christ, the enemies of the church are real. But know who the real enemies are. Stand in Christ's victory over them. Be bold in your love for others. Do not shrink in fear under the prevailing cultural ideologies or abandon hope, for Christ has defeated your enemies. Christ is risen, and you too will arise. Christ is victorious, and you share in his victory. Be assured that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For in Christ, you are more than conquerors. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.